Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thanks for being here, podcast listener. That is you. It's officially theater season in St. Pete. September is usually the start of the season, and if you are in a smaller town or a city that doesn't care so much about theater, you might have one or two opportunities to catch a show. Not true in St. Pete. Weekend after weekend, you can catch a new show, a favorite show, or maybe a new approach. A couple of weeks ago, I got to interview a new friend, Alan Mone Jr., who was managing director of a newer theater company here in St. Pete called The Off Central. If you missed that episode, you can listen to it on demand. You're welcome. But in a nutshell, it is this great little gem of a theater in downtown St. Pete, which produces really exciting, relevant, and important plays. The next show in their season opens November 13th. It's a very well-known play that gets done quite a bit, but like everything Off Central does, this production is just a little bit different and really special. The show is called Art by Yasmina Reza, and today we have two of the actors in the cast of three. Welcome Debbie Yonis and Amy Sally to Big Broadway Energy. Welcome, friends.
Thank you.
It's lovely to be here.
It's lovely to see you both. I want to talk a little bit about both of your backgrounds, but first let's talk art. This show is, if you've been in theater in any capacity, in any sort of regional situation, art has been something that maybe you've seen out there and you're like, what the heck is this? And it's a great show. It packs a punch. I love the approach that you all are taking. Debbie, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the approach that the Off Central is taking to your production of art?
Sure. This play has been out there for a long time. It's been done many times. I've seen it. I've read it. Fell in love with it. Did some other Yasmina Reza shows. Well, one, God of Carnage. And then about a year and a half ago, I was talking to Alan and I said, we should do art. It would fit really well in the space. And I said, we're doing it with women. And you're casting me in it. It's a story about a piece of art that one of them buys, Amy. But it really is a story about friendship and long-term friendships and what happens when they're at the brink of possibly dissolving.
Right. And I think it's one of those shows that, again, to your point, really fits perfectly at Off Central. Every time I see a show there, it really is such a fun experience because many of the shows you select are about the human relationships as opposed to maybe this big, heavy plot that people have to stick with for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about the space of Off Central if you've never been there, because I do think it is a special space.
Yeah.
Amy, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I will gladly. So it is an intimate space, without a doubt. It has enough space in there for us to fully produce, fully design, have a cast with more than one person. How far back does it go? I think 5 rows?
I think it's 5 rows. So 43 seats.
The nosebleed seats are, you know,
pretty darn good.
Less than the 10-yard line away.
Oh, yeah. Only if we end up punching the audience, is it a nosebleed?
That's right.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of experience, too, that if you've never come to theater outside of maybe going to see a show, it's a different experience when you see something in that intimate space and you feel like you're part of the thing that's going on in front of you and can get invested quickly. I've never seen a show there where I'm not totally in it from the first second and think, wow, they're doing great work in this space. You just belong there at the Off Central, which is really cool.
Well, that's what we're striving for, so I'm glad to hear that. And in fact, over the next season, it's Alan's vision to really make it immersive, like bringing the show in through the walls from the moment that you walk in through the front door into the house, all the way to the back of the house. Everybody's sort of in the show.
Yeah, in it together. So let's talk about art again, just to summarize it for people that maybe have never seen it. You pick great shows that are not just searing dramas or these raucous comedies. There's always things around the plays that you select that feel realistic. This is from your website. I don't know if it's something that they wrote or you wrote, but I loved it. Three longtime friends, one ridiculously expensive painting. Is it art or just the world's priciest inside joke? As the three women debate the piece and what truly constitutes art, they uncover long-held grievances and tension points in their relationships. Can their friendship survive, or will one of them finally draw the line? It's 100 minutes of minimalist art, maximalist laughs, and a moving look at what we really see and forgive in the people we love. Have you both worked together before?
We are on this project because we were looking for something.
So
right after I said, you're casting me, I said, you're casting Amy.
And who was the third actor?
Vera Samuels. And although it at the audition was the first time that we met her, it feels like we're longtime friends. Yep. It clicked right away. She's brilliant. And I sort of feel her absence right here next to us.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask, because Art is back on Broadway with three very well-known actors. I've seen their press and like, oh yeah, we go way back. I don't know if that's true, but the importance of the relationship of these three actors has to feel absolutely there from the first moment. I love that you said Vera sort of clicked with you too. What are you finding as three really talented actors in this play that maybe surprises you? Amy, you want to take...
How easily it is for us to absolutely say horrible things to each other. And I think that's why we worked really hard. Alan did a wonderful thing and bought us dinner before rehearsals even began. So we had the thing, when you show up to a read-through and you get to know the actors and everything is new and you're nervous and you don't remember anybody's name because you're under certain conditions... All of that happened over drinks and some nosh that someone else paid for. It was lovely.
The best, right?
He realized from the start that we are three very different people, three points of a triangle. Our love to make this friendship seem real has been there from the start. We have developed that thing you want to do in rehearsal or in a classroom, create that safe space where you can be vulnerable with each other and make huge risks come true. That's where the good stuff happens.
Yeah. And those three points of the triangle, you're saying, Stephen, although our characters are three very distinct points on the triangle, we as actors are not those same three.
Right.
So we've been cast in roles that challenge each one of us. I think Amy's character, Celine, challenges Amy, for sure. Yvonne challenges me, Debbie, the person,
yes,
to be a complete, you know, fit a completely different mold.
Now, Yasmina Reza, who is a French playwright, wrote art. She also wrote God of Carnage, which you mentioned, which is another one that you see a lot of times in regional theater because it's an easy cast. You can put it up. It's one set. You can do it very succinctly, although there's lots of technical issues. If you've never seen it, go see it. You'll see what I'm talking about. What I love about Yasmina Reza is that she's French. Obviously, French is her first language. Her plays are written in French and then translated to English. But there is some human component that she writes that I think is singular to her. Like, I really believe she understands what makes humans tick, but like what makes them repel from each other. And the need
trigger
to...
trigger points.
Without a doubt, I need to bring it back before the end of the play is what makes it so special, I think.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Just very human, right?
Yeah.
I love that. So let's talk a little bit about your careers here in Tampa Bay. Amy, I'm going to start with you. You have been in the Tampa Bay theater scene for some time. Can I say 3 decades?
Yes, you can.
3 decades, in fact. And I got to say, years ago, I saw your production of 6 Degrees of Separation at the Gorilla Theater. No. It is one of my favorite plays of all time, and it never gets done.
Loved it.
Amy, it was everything I wished it was going to be and more. I thought about that production for weeks after. You guys did such an amazing job.
I wish they could show wells of tears in someone's eyes on a podcast. That's amazing.
It's true. It's one of those plays that I wish it got done more because it's so brilliant. And without a good cast, it doesn't really work. Okay, enough fawning. Now that you're working at the Off Central, you worked in professional theater for a lot of years here in St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay. And the Off Central is a professional but non-union house. Can you talk a little bit about what you feel coming to a non-equity experience? Because I think some people say they see the little star next to the actor and that it validates you for some reason. And those days hopefully are coming to a close because I've seen so many things here in St. Pete. They don't need the star. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I have seen across the Tampa Bay area, there are theater companies who choose to run their rehearsals and performance under equity conditions. That means the breaks are scheduled not when the director thinks it's time, but at an hour or an hour and a half. If it's an hour, you get 5. If it's an hour and a half, you get 10. There are pay scales. We have, as a community, understood that those guidelines Equity put out might be some fair practices we can use. For me, as a professional who gave up Equity a long time ago, back when there were no Equity opportunities in Tampa, and I had just taken the full-time position at the Patel Conservatory, and I knew I wasn't going anywhere, so I gave up my Equity. What I noticed was very little. If I walked into a theater company who started to say, we run on equity guidelines, I'm like, all right, I'm in a good place. There's a chain. If I have an issue, I feel confident displaying that to the right person. I know that things can be followed up on. And then you have people who are of a professional quality who are willing to work in a non-equity house.
It's nice to see that happening. Back in the day, when I was in college, I was in the college in the 90s, the equity card was the dangling carrot that everybody tried to get. It took points, and you needed to find a casting director that would hire you even though you didn't have a card. It was chicken or the egg, and it was just so frustrating. You couldn't get into auditions. You couldn't do anything. And when I finally gave up the ghost and moved to St. Pete and said, I'm just going to try to start working here, I noticed so many opportunities, and I was so excited. Now that I see things like the Off Central, I love that you said there are equity guidelines or equity sort of the way equity has these guidelines around how to run a process.
Yes.
Debbie, you're on the board of the off Central, and you're an artistic associate there. You help pick the plays. Was that a big concern, or at least something that you all talked about before you started, that the equity rules and the respect for actors and directors and stage managers had to be there for you?
I don't know that we ever explicitly said equity rules. I've been at the Off Central since the very first production. The other word that you said, which is respect, respect and professionalism and honoring everybody's work, those are the tenets that we're holding on to. We went through the exercise of redefining our core values, and respect, accountability, and collaborative are on that list for all those same reasons, because we're professionals. We should be treated in a professional, respectful way.
For sure. I love that. And Debbie, you're also director at Off Central. You directed a play last season called The Sound Inside, which was truly remarkable. The script, super dense, but really intimate. We talked earlier about the intimacy of the theater and how it helps those shows come to life. When you direct there, is the intimacy a part of how you direct or where you go when you're directing?
Yeah. So I will thank you for saying that I've directed so many shows. I've directed two.
Well, listen, that's more than one, Debbie.
This last one was definitely an award nominee.
Yeah.
Debbie, it was so fantastic. I couldn't believe the performances that those two amazing actors gave.
I was very, very lucky. I had a brilliant script. I had two brilliant actors. I was working in a space that honors creativity and imagination and the freedom to try. I felt safe exploring things and trying kooky things. The soundtrack of Sound Inside, I actually, this is ridiculous. I'm not self-promoting, but it was sort of set. I was like, can I do this? Can I try this? And they're like, yes. So the premise of the show is the main character, brilliantly portrayed by Roxanne Fay, is sort of facing a cancer diagnosis. And in her head is playing her mother's death from cancer. The sound inside to us was the DNA code of the mutation that caused her mother's cancer. So starting from the show is dung, 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 dung. Okay, I don't sing. But are the notes that I mapped of DNA, C-A-G, whatever the other one is, to notes. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of playing underneath. So that was the sound inside. We twisted a few other things in the show, and it just came together so well. I think it's the space, the actors, the team, the collaboration. Thank you for saying all those wonderful things. I felt it from the inside, too.
Yeah, I think so. The shows that you select are reliant on everybody coming and giving their best and not being afraid that it's so intimate. Sometimes actors don't love being that close to the audience. I, for one, love being that close to the actors and seeing how they are actually creating these messages. What are people going to be surprised by, maybe if they've seen it before?
Sorry,
don't give anything away.
We're laughing at each other. First, we're like, okay, you're going to take that one. You're going to take that. None of us want to take that.
Vera, can you call
that's
it, please?
Right. I think this play is a comedy, and she has written, I think it's very easy to take away from the script that she is making fun of rich people in some capacity, right? What it means to have too much money and the weird choices that you make with that is supported by the script. And so there are these three characters. One of them, the quote-unquote poor one, admits to paying $400 a session for therapy, right? So that's their version of poor.
Right, of course.
So there's this ridiculous layer that goes over the top. When you first watch it, you think, oh, that's tone deaf. We're doing a play about a bunch of rich people. But when you can skirt through and laugh at that, then she opens you right up to like, oh my goodness, that is me. I can see myself in that friendship dynamic. And she uses that tool to say, look, these are people that you'll never be. And you realize you're looking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Spoil anything? I don't think so.
No, that was really, really good. And that's so true. And that's what she does with all of her plays. You know, you think you know exactly what you're going to do, or you're like, these people are awful.
Right.
And 20 minutes in, you're like, these people are me. It's so good.
You were talking about Neil LaBute a couple of
episodes.
And I was like, he does amazing to bring out the ugly in people. And just when you think you're rooting for the hero, you're like, oh my God, they're ugly too.
Yeah.
I was in New York when Neil LaBute was coming up. He became well-known while I was at school there. I saw Fat Pig off Broadway and I was like, what is this guy? I read all of his plays. And then I said, well, I'm going to try to do one a season. I started my own theater company. I'm like, we're trying to do one a season because I love what he's doing. And he does, again, like, we're humans try to be good. We really do try. Mm-hmm. But boy, are we horrible sometimes. Yep. And when I go see a play or I'm in a play, I'm excited to work with you all in 2026 at the Off Central. I'm so excited to be able to be part of a group like that especially at a time right now, it is important to remember the importance of art in our lives because we all need it so much, even at the best of times. Yes. And when things are challenging and scary and you don't know what's going to happen and you have panic attacks every 20 minutes, having a team or a family to go to for rehearsal or to band together or to go to a museum with friends, that stuff is what keeps us together, right? So last question for both of you. I ask everybody this question. What does art mean to you? And Amy, why don't you start?
All right. I'm going to try to not steal any of Yvonne's lines. So I'm saying separate from that.
What does art mean to you? That's a perfect question for you, Debbie. Yvonne, what does art mean to you?
Art represents the parts that we can't rationally argue or put boundaries around. And that applies to art. It applies to friendship. It applies to love. Applies to all of the things. Yvonne says this. Nothing good, nothing formative, nothing beautiful comes from just rationalness. It has to come from a bit of irrationalness, a bit of just letting go and agreeing to just go with it. And I think this is a time when we have to see the beauty of life, of friendships, without putting boundaries around it, without putting rules to it, without making it rational.
I love that. Amy?
I'm going to build on that.
You have a good line at the end.
I think about psychology. I feel like the guy's last name was Bernays. So what was happening in psychology as it was being developed to help people heal their minds, maybe Edward Bernays, I'm probably getting that wrong, was using those same principles to develop the concept of marketing. And so right now, I feel that our irrational side is being bombarded from a fear, anger, and hatred side. And art provides the, through the looking glass version of that. I feel like we're on the wrong side of the looking glass right now, and art is going to bring us back.
Amazing and so true. That was really good, the both of you. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see this show. Art opens on November 13th for 2 weekends, Thursday through Sundays, and there's a Pay What You Can on Wednesday, November 19th at 7:30. So for pricing times, all that stuff, you can go to theoffcentral.com. Amy, Sally, Debbie Onis, thank you so much for stopping by Big Broadway Energy. Looking forward to seeing the show. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest, email me, will you? BigBroadwayEnergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, keep creating. Bye, everybody.